quit. I'll be here broke. I'm not going to help him out. I'm not going to make him rich.
Yeah. All right, this is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have another beautiful, the second one. I'm so excited because at first we're having so many men and testosterone all over the place. But I know that the ladies want to hear from the ladies. I personally want to hear. I want to have conversation with ladies, probably a lot more. I mean, just to show that, you know, what we do here and the results that you may see cream all over the place, it's possible for anybody regardless of who you are. And so I'm excited to be bringing you the second person here that's going to be a lady. I stumbled across her some few years back, and ever since I stumbled across her, it was specifically from one of the videos promoting the No Excuse Summit, which is one of the flagship events that we have in this online marketing, network marketing, internet network marketing, entrepreneurship space. And since then, I've been following her. And a few years back, we tried to get her to one of our events. As you can imagine, she's very hard to get. But I got her today. So, so I'm excited to bring her, to finally bring her to this platform. And I'm sure that you're going to get a lot of value out of this. I'm going to let her tell you our whole story. Without any further ado, Diane Hoffman.
Hey, Ola, how are you? And hello, everybody. So you want me to just share my background, how I got here and all that good stuff?
Your story. How the heck did you end up in the top 10% of mankind? Because everybody is not supposed to be an entrepreneur.
No.
You're a little bit crazy to be an entrepreneur.
Absolutely, 100%.
How did you get here? Tell us, please.
You know, it's funny. 17 years ago, next week, 17 years ago, my gosh, I was invited to a meeting. I had bought some products from my cousin, and I was having some good results with these products, and he invited me to a meeting, and I thought the meeting was like, because these were some weight loss products. I thought we were going to talk about our feelings. It was going to be like Weight Watchers or something. And it turned out to be an opportunity meeting. And everybody was jumping up and down. And there was music. And it was very high energy. And at the time, I was home with my two kids. I had left my job and decided, we decided we'd rather be, you know, we'd rather have less money than not be with the kids. So I basically had kind of run my family broke because I kept spending the salary that I wasn't getting paid anymore. So I go to this meeting thinking we're going to talk about, you know, why we snack or why we do this. And I said, this is it. This is it. This is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm going to solve our family's financial problems. And that day, I wrote a check for $72.95 for my business in a box. I couldn't cover the check. I had to run to the bank Monday morning to put money in the bank to make sure to move money around. And I had to figure out where I was getting the money from because I didn't have it. And that's how I started my first home business.
Oh my God! Did you say $72.95?
That's how much it was. $72.95, cash money.
You know what? And I want to hear that. You know, I do some meetups locally here in New Jersey, and you know, a lot of the people that come to meetup are people that have spent maybe $20,000, $15,000, even sometimes up to $45,000 on a guruship training somewhere. And what I always tell them is, listen, I don't care how much you spend on this, it's absolutely worth it as long as you don't quit.
Yep.
So I'm always glad to hear when somebody says they got started paying anything above $5,000 on their program. Because when I got started, I paid $3,000 for my first big product, and I didn't have the $3,000 yet. So
I want to make sure you're clear. $72.95 is what I spent that day.
Okay.
I ended up spending more money to get my business going, but that day, I had to figure it out, but that day, it was $72.95 to get started.
Cool.
All right, perfect. Now, I'm all for investing in yourself, so don't get me wrong, because, I mean, if I were to continue the story, you'd hear how I figured out how to get to the level that I needed to be in the company, which is really about $3,000. And I did that within the month.
I'm sure because it, I tell people all the time as well too, like, listen, yeah, you know, we are part of, we've been a part of programs where your investment, initial investment is $1, $10.
Yeah.
We're both a part of MLSP. My first investment with MLSP was $9.99 back in 2009. But before the end of that hour, I spent about $700. You know the drill, right? The upsells and all that stuff. But, you know, there's a, let me ask you a question. Initially in the beginning, you spent that $72.95, right? Everything was smooth from that point on. You just started making money. Is that how it worked?
Actually, I didn't have a lot of cash on hand. So what I did was I used my warm market, my circle of influence, and I had everybody over and showed them what I had, and I took orders. So I used other people's money to get me to where I needed to go. And I did enough volume to hit that level that I needed to get to. So it was cool because there's so many different ways. You can throw down a credit card. You can, you know, get a loan. You can sell some stuff and have a garage sale. You can use other people's money depending on the program and how it works. There's all different ways to get where you want to go. Most people go, boo-hoo, I can't, it's over. They don't even try. So for me, it was really getting creative, and that's why you like having the ladies on, because the ladies tend to be a little crafty, a little creative. We're used to cutting coupons and things, and we just figure things out in business, sometimes in the ways that the gentlemen don't always see.
No, I totally agree with that, and I've always given women something, maybe even to an unfair state sometimes. I just feel like men were too arrogant. We're too pompous. The ego gets in the way sometimes. You know, we don't necessarily want to ask for help sometimes, even when we're struggling, you know. And by nature, I feel like women are very success driven. When you go to churches, you know, I'm a church, but I grew up in church, and it's often, you know, everybody's out here searching for some kind of answer, some kind of breakthrough in yourself, but it's always the woman that occupies the church in most cases, because they are the one looking for better ways. And when you go to home meetings, when it comes to network marketing as well too, you will often see that there's a lot of women involved, you know. And but I hate to say, when I also look at the charts, the leaderboards, right, you always find that men may be dominating a lot more, because the few men that comes in, they're kind of like entrepreneurs anyway. Maybe they're coming from a different business. What's your take on what would you say in terms, have you ever observed that maybe men are?
Well, I beat them all, and not to sound too cocky, but since we're talking about testosterone, I'm sure I have a little in me. I am the number one at my program, having surpassed many of the top men in the industry who I respect greatly, who have other business interests. So, you know, they have all different things going on.
Right.
It depends on the company, Ola. I think it really does. It depends on what you're looking at. If you're looking at a heavy-duty internet marketing program, you're going to find more men at the top. I mean, right now I'm involved in a program too. I was the only woman in the top 10, and everybody was like contacting me. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing the same thing that they're doing. Why is it weird? You know? But I think if you go to a lot more direct sales companies, it's all women. You know, they like doing you know, the direct communication, the direct meetings, the parties, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it depends on the type of program.
Okay.
I think the most important thing you have to realize is women have different motivation than men. You know, women want to do things for the home, the family. So they're not worried about being the top. They just want to make sure they made the money that they need to make to do what they want to do with their family, the vacation, et cetera. It's just a different psychology.
Okay. All right. I totally agree. I couldn't agree any further. Now, when you started, I'm sure you had some struggles in the beginning. There's a lot of people that have been listening to this, and they probably have been online, offline, wherever it is, for the past 24 months trying to figure this out, right? What were the struggles you had in the beginning?
All right. I'm going to tell the truth. I didn't have a lot of struggles in the beginning. My struggles came later. In the beginning, it was very smooth sailing. I used warm market. Then I moved to cold market. We did a great amount of business. We did a lot of volume. I learned some marketing. We were doing great. And then I hit a wall a couple years in. And that's when I wasn't sure whether I wanted to keep doing it, whether I wasn't sure whether this was for me.
Let me guess. I'm probably going to be wrong here. Was it because you have team members that didn't have the easy, or not easy, but that didn't find it easy like you did? Could that be part of the organization?
It was getting into management with the team instead of production. It was getting bored. I'm an entrepreneur, and because I was in traditional network marketing, was doing the same thing every day. Right. You know, the same presentation, the same thing, the same training. And I'm kind of ADHD, so for me, it just got to the point where I was kind of bored. So between whiny people that didn't, you know, didn't step up and do the work, and getting bored, I was in kind of like an existential crisis of, is this what I want? But that's really when I found the internet and I found copywriting and all the things I do today. And that's where the whole second part of my career opened up.
Fantastic. So, so you struggled with just being bored out of your mind. I tell people all the time, you know, the way we win in this business, long-term sustainability, right, there has to be some level of systems involved.
Correct. Absolutely.
And I tell people that systems are boring because they do the same thing over and over and over and over, but they get results. You may have to go through the process before you see results, but before that, you could get bored out of your mind and feel like you and I, we may switch modes before we get to results. How did you handle that?
Well, what happened, and I totally agree, because I hadn't learned in my leadership capacity yet how to make sure that other people were doing those jobs that were starting to get me a little bored, you know, with teach to teach and get your team into those roles and doing the presentations. I ended up meeting the man who became my mentor and learning about attraction marketing. So I went from doing traditional network marketing, prospecting and cold call and all that type of stuff, and I moved into using the internet and bringing people towards me, and I learned quite a bit about writing copy. So I became very much email based, actually mail order originally, because I was doing booklets and mailing out things. And then when autoresponders came, I became very email based. And so writing the email every day gave me that creative outlet, but it still let me do the same activity that I needed to do on a daily basis that caused, you know, the growth. And then also because I was able to give the emails to the team, I started to have duplication because I could give them something that they could all do.
Right. Mail order. That's some pretty ancient stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm old. What can I tell you?
Not to call you old. But that's some pretty...
Hey, before autoresponders, you had to build a list. That's how you built a list.
You did. You know, when I started back in 2004, 5, that I was introduced into entrepreneurship by way of direct mailing, and very appreciative of that today. I didn't know what I was doing. I did it for the next 3-4 years successfully until the market crashed on me in 2008. But today, just understanding what I was doing now and combining together with the knowledge, it makes so much sense that I literally feel like I can print money anytime I feel like it, you know?
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly. And that was the best part about going through all the stages. I'm so happy I went through all the stages. When people feel like they're struggling or people feel like they're having a hard time, that really, you'll look back at it later and you'll go, my gosh, that's when I really learned. Because all of the things that I learned along the way, by the time I got to the internet, by the time I got to, for example, AdWords or Facebook ads or some of the things we use today, I already had a certain skill base from running ads in the newspaper or sending postcards out to people, writing copy. So it made me a very well-rounded marketer.
Now, you're notorious for having a small list and learning how to convert highly, way highly more than an average marketer out here. What is your conversion mindset? What's your mindset when it comes to sales, conversion? What's your mindset?
You know, it's funny. You said you're a church guy. My marketing philosophy is all about serving people. And I know it sounds corny, but I want to keep somebody with me as long as I can. So I want to get them onto my list. I want to keep them with me as long as I can. I want to develop the relationship with them. I want to develop trust. I'm not looking for the quick sale. I'm looking for the long-term relationship because in the long term, you'll make more sales. The person will buy more often from you, give you more what's called wallet share. They'll buy autoresponder from you, their system tools from you. They'll join they'll buy their auto ship MLM from you. They'll buy their events from you, etc. So that makes a big difference. And I remember one time I was having a conversation with a major marketer who was telling me basically that my production wasn't as much as other people's. Mm. I said, go look at my numbers and see how much I earn per person. They came back with their jaw on the floor because they were like, oh my God, you're triple all the, like the other marketers who are top marketers. You're earning triple per person. That's why you're earning so much money. Right. I go deeper with the people and extract more.
I love deeper because I had to learn that too. You know, when you come on the internet, everybody's thinking wide width, right? Just as many people as you can bring in. But we often find that they get burnt out at some point, you know, and deeper is what keeps you in the game long term. So I totally agree with that. And when we say deeper, you're talking either you use the machines or personally, you're talking about just about the people, making sure that you're there to answer to the people. There are probably about 10 people that will come on your website. About 3 to 4 people will take the next action, and you want to make sure that those 3 to 4 people get your attention, as opposed to forget about the 3 to 4 people, go get 10 more people. People get burnt out. People waste a lot of money on marketing just by doing that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm very specific about who I want on my list. I'm looking for a certain type of person, or the old phrase that my mentor taught me is I'm looking for people that are looking for me. So I'm not marketing in a way that's designed to get everybody. I'm marketing in a way that's designed to get people that connect to me as a person. So right. Then when I show them my products and services, they're much more likely to sign up and buy continually. So I'm not looking to have the 100,000 person list.
Right.
I actually want people to instead of getting them to opt into a page that says, I'm going to show you how to generate 50 leads a day, the typical stuff, or, you know, the typical stuff that people do, mine will be very unusual so that I'll get less opt-ins, but the people who opt in are much more likely to buy. So I'm dealing with a smaller crowd that's much inclined to buy.
Now, are you a born entrepreneur or you learned it?
You know what? I think I had the gene in me and I never knew. There's no entrepreneurs in my family. I'm still the oddball. I was at my mother's house yesterday or on Sunday. I pulled up in my brand new $80,000 car that was just given to me by a company and they still don't understand me. They still don't understand me. They're very worried that my husband will quit and now we won't have benefits. Woo, you know, it happened late at night on the internet when I started looking for ways to build my business, and I started reading books, and I was born to do this. But my educational background is I was a Spanish teacher, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
That's what my degree is. Yeah.
You speak Spanish fluently. Wow.
Yeah, I do.
That's a big plus. That's a big plus, actually. Yeah. In the United States of America. Maybe if you were in Canada, you would need to learn French.
Ah, c'est un peu de Canada parle français. Only a little bit of Canada speaks French. It's no big deal. Right north of me. I live in Connecticut. So if you go straight up, that's the part of Canada that has the French.
Pretty much, because I just came back from Niagara Falls. So I just went to your hood, kind of.
You went to my hood.
Yeah. But yeah, it's beautiful. I find what we do fascinating. And I continue to be a student of people, you know. And just to learn how people behave, because that's essentially what marketing is. Because you gotta remove yourself from your shoes and step into other people's shoes. And sometimes you see people, you say, "Oh yeah, some people are tacky," because we call them all kind of names. But the truth of the matter is that those are just people. Those are people, yeah. And you have to learn how to, you know. So that brings me to the next question, because I find myself. Because we learn all those things in the beginning, you know, the tire kickers, people that are not serious, they need motivation, the mindset, it's effed up. People will go as far as saying that sometimes, you know.
Yep.
But then I'm learning that for us entrepreneurs, we really have to stay on top of our game when it comes to humility.
Yes.
What's your take on that?
You know, it's very easy, especially as you come into making quite a bit of money, it's very easy to get pretty full of yourself. It's very easy to think you're above certain things. It's very easy to stop doing the normal activities or to think that I shouldn't talk to this person because they're not as whatever as me. And that is a very fast route to disaster. It's a very fast route to disaster. None of us, I don't know anybody that started that has done incredibly well in this industry that started with a silver spoon. You know, I started as a broke housewife, and I have a heart for that woman who's not really entrepreneurial, but she's trying to do something for her family, or that man for that matter. You know, you were just saying, we'll talk about tire kickers or these people. You know what I call all those people that aren't sure or don't take action? Mm-hmm. I call them customers. They're going to buy my products and services. It's okay if they want to sign up and really not take action because they're not ready yet. They're taking the product, they bought the products or what they're selling. They're here and they've made a purchase. I'm going to respect them. Am I going to spend hours on end with them? No, because they're not really building a business. Mm-hmm. But am I going to treat them with respect and not ridicule them for not moving forward? No, they're a customer. And I like customers. I like customers all day long.
And we have to, because especially when we're talking about the network marketing part of things, we often find people that get into the game and forget that this is real business and you need to sell product to just people that are just customers, not necessarily business partners. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part. I mean, just a few days ago, I don't know if you saw the post by Ray Higdon, you know, pretty much on every episode now since I started interviewing people, we've mentioned this guy's name, Gary Vee.
Yep.
And we follow him because he resonates pretty well with entrepreneurship, the need for work, the need for hustle. I've always been against him on the hustle part of things. You don't just hustle, you need strategy. You can just hustle your way to it.
No, and that's not what I mean, first of all, I had Gary come speak at an event. So mm-hmm. Gary's a great guy. He's just talking about his work ethic. He's talking about, you know, he is very family centered. When he was with us in Jersey, his wife called. He was talking about the kids. Mm. He's just trying to say to people, if you're an entrepreneur, you really have to understand what that means. It means that sometimes you have to stay up late. A lot of times you have to get up early. And if you want to, I mean, if you have these big goals, he's a 40-year-old man trying to conquer the world. And he's trying to explain what that means. Mm. I don't think his intention, if you listen to the podcast extensively or mm-hmm. talk to him for any period of time, he doesn't think everybody should be doing this. He right. thinks there are people. Now, how often do you stay up late or get up early to get things done? All the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the time. Me too. Yeah. Me too. How often do you hit the road? Or yeah, how often do you hit? Like, I just traveled this summer. I was home for 2 weeks all summer because we were on the road out speaking at events. I've been on stages all over the country. I've from Arizona to Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been all over the country this summer speaking and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I love every minute of it. It's my genes.
Yeah.
Gary is just trying to explain his DNA. And right. if you listen to him, he talks about DNA a lot. Doing this is not in everybody's DNA. Mm-hmm. But what he's trying to do is tell someone, don't sit and whine. Mm-hmm. Don't say blah, 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 if you're not willing to do the work.
Right.
So, and as far as his network marketing stance, I think that Gary is uneducated about network marketing because he talked about it when we were together. I have clips of him discussing it too. Right. I think he's uneducated and I think he's basing it upon some of the insanity we see on the internet, and I don't blame them.
And that's why I'm going with that, you know, because it's true. People walk around here acting like all we sell is a pyramid. People actually do that. People create sales letters that's strictly surrounding just join, you're going to make money, right? Yep. Without necessarily having a product to back it up, which makes it a scam, a scheme, you know, once you don't have a product to back it up. So can we really say, it's not educated. It's not educated at all. Obviously, it's not educated because he hasn't really experienced it, right? But does he need to be educated? Is there something that can be done about how it's presented in the marketplace in most cases? You know, I mean, you have, we could do, Facebook stops people from doing that, right? They disapprove ads and stuff. But the solo ads, which create the majority of the volume of people we see here, because you can blast 1,000 clicks right now. like in this spot in time right now, that cannot necessarily be censored, right?
Yeah, but the people that opt into those things, see, it's all about permission marketing, Ola. If I see an ad that says, get rich quick, or whatever, some hypey ad, and I opt in, I've asked for that. If I go into a store, and it's a shoe store, I want shoes, right? So other people are looking for a business opportunity that is more... with less hype and just a different type of opportunity. So they opt into something else. Right. It's really about people choosing what they want to read and what they want to see. And I think some people, Gary included, feel that some marketers take advantage of the weak, take advantage of the uneducated, take advantage of the broke by promising them things. So does the lottery. You know, I mean, there's commercials on TV in Connecticut for the lottery with tap dancing, you know, ladies in cute little outfits telling you you're going to win $50,000 a week for life. I don't know, you know, who's right, who's wrong. I kind of don't really care. I'm just conducting my business and helping people. I can't sit and...
I can't be worrying about that, right?
Yeah, but as far as Gary, though, I like Gary a lot. Mm-hmm. I am a fan of his. I don't use the word fan. I mean, I'm not like a fan girl or something, but I enjoy listening to his stuff because it is interesting, intellectual, smart conversation about business.
I follow him. I follow him. I listen to everything he has to say. But I also noticed there's a lot of brain fart, a lot of just dumping and dropping it, you know, and he will say it himself. He will say, listen.
It's his personality. It's smack talk. That's the whole thing. Yeah. If you're sitting around talking football on Sunday afternoon, people are talking smack talk. Gary talks smack talk. It's his New Jersey in-your-face sensibility. Yeah. And so to sit around and interpret that all day, I don't know that I would. It's just who he is.
He tells
you that. He embraces and he tells you, this is who I am. He makes fun of pretty much a lot of things. And now I just saw a funny video today making fun of him. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very, I forget what it was called. It was something very funny. Okay. And so there's backlash against him. And that's okay because he knows it. He invites it. He brings it on. So.
He gets it. Yeah. And that's probably the most thing that I follow about him. Just it's a ridiculous, let me say, it's ridiculous amount of intensity when it comes to content marketing. And if I can follow anybody in this space, that's number one when it comes to content marketing, repurposing content. And his quote that content is the gateway drug for opportunity. What is your take on content marketing?
I think I absolutely agree with it. And you look at Ray Higdon in our space, I mean, the guy, he's everywhere. And why is he so big? It's simple. You can't go anywhere without seeing him. I've been friends with Ray for years. I know you've been friends with Ray for years. Mm-hmm. The guy has just done it. It's the hustle that, you know, he's up early. He's creating that content. He's putting out. He has the blog post. He has the live. He has the Periscope. You know, it's everywhere. And it has catapulted him to the moon. Yeah. I think right now, I will tell you with the Facebook Live, it's getting a little bit like infomercial city. You know, it's just you scroll through the feed and it's just all people live all day talking about nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't know you
needed
that.
It'll correct itself, but right now I think there's a huge problem. I think a lot of people are telling people that's the answer. A lot of people get into this industry. And now you said you wanted to go raw, but let's go raw. People get into this industry and they think there's a way. So somebody tells them this is the way.
A secret.
And then they just go out and do it, you know, kind of, and they're just running amok. There's a sequence that you need to use when creating content. There's a sensibility that needs to happen. Like we're doing right now, we're creating intelligent, consumable, valuable content. Sitting around on live all day and talking about your dog and then saying, come to my webinar is just not
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, some few weeks I was just looking at some hashtags on Instagram and I saw, so, you know, because, you know, a lot of people listening to this are in the real estate investing space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw people with their selfie phone, I'm about to go to the city hall, hustle all day, and they just blabbing nothing. And I'm like, well, somebody taught those people, but they're getting it wrong, right?
You can't just... Well, you know, you talk mail order, with some mail order. Back in the day, the full page newspaper ads were Get Rich in Your Underwear and The Lazy Guide to Millions. Okay, those were the big ads. So we've come to the polar opposite end. Before it was hardly work and get rich, and now it's you have to work all day like an animal to get rich. And I'm all for the happy medium. Let's have a family. Let's have a life. Lifestyle. I'm a lifestyle marketer. But that's just what happens. It's the same thing in fashion. There's skinny jeans and there's bell bottoms. You know, right. We go from, you know, if you go from Soul Train, they have the biggest, largest, widest pants ever, to these really, really, really tight pants in the 80s.
Right.
And it's just the polar ends. And then everything swings back and forth. And yeah, it's learning where the limit is.
The last time I saw it was probably in 2009. You know, there were a lot of people teaching just video challenges and stuff like that. And it was the people that, because when you look at someone like Gary Vee, or you look at, really, he's very funny too. He puts on some
hysterical. You know? I just spoke at his event 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was. He's hysterical. He's hysterical on video, hysterical on stage. He's just...
Yeah. So it's you got to have some value in there, though. You got to have some substance in there. You can't just film yourself blabbing. I try to do, when everybody was making noise about 3-4 months ago, when everybody started jumping on Facebook Live, you know, it was fun. As a matter of fact, not everybody had it. Maybe about 6 months.
Yeah, remember?
And I used it, and before I knew it, at least I would have about 50, 60 people on. So then I was like, nah, it's nothing. I don't care. You know, same thing with Periscope. I don't care. I'll continue my content marketing as I usually do it, because that never fails. Just putting content out, right? So, and then last week, I was like, let me see what happens. Then I got on. Out of 50,000 fans on the fan page, I barely had 10 people on. So what happened is the noise you were talking about.
It happened with YouTube. I was one of the very first YouTube marketers. Right. You used to put up a video, go to bed, wake up in the morning, 2,000 views. Today you put up a video, go to bed. Even if you optimize it and everything else, you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, there's 12 views. You know, it's not, everything's like that. You either have to be an early adopter or you have to be extremely consistent. And if you're really smart, you're both. Early adopter, really consistent.
For someone who wants to have sustainability, who wants to have some type of evergreen content creation machine, kind of like Ray has, kind of like Gary Vee has, what would you advise them right now?
I would advise you doing the traditional. Make sure you're building that list, first of all, because that list, you can push people. If you have a list, you can push people into content. And when you push your loyalists into your content, it makes the content more visible, which brings new eyeballs to it. So the list is always my focus first. Then I would absolutely be using video, and I would be doing traditional video or something like this, you know, interviews, etc. Then I would be doing some blog posts, obviously. Some people are religious. They do it every day. I do it a couple times a week, but you're creating a library. And then I like to use lives to promote the evergreen.
Right.
Follow that. So like, I'm going to say, hey guys, I just put out a new blog post and I'm discussing this and this. Why don't you go check it out and leave me a comment and we'll continue the conversation there. Yeah. I like that. I like it for promotion. I think that doing content that's fleeting when you don't have an audience doesn't really make sense. When you do have an audience, like Ray will get on and have 1,000 people on. Right. Gary gets on, he has thousands of people on. They have the audience that's active and alive. So interacting with your audience via a live medium makes sense. If you don't have an audience, you need to build the audience first before you get up and do that stuff. In my opinion, people will differ with me. People do differ with me.
Absolutely. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Social media, right? Obviously, that's essentially internet right now, right?
Yes.
What do you think the effect of social media is on today's business environment?
For in our space specifically, or in business in the world?
Our space, business, I think is the same thing, personally.
Yeah.
It can be different from niche to niche, but just generally.
I think it's a double-edged sword. Because social media, it puts people talking. It's conversations all the time. Where previously when you were marketing, if you sent a letter or a postcard into someone's house, or maybe they picked up, you know, a home business magazine and they read your full page ad, they were by themselves. they didn't really have anybody to discuss it with. They read it, they were influenced by your content and your copy, and they decided whether to order or not order, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody is reading something or consuming something or watching a video, and then they're going into the conversation that's happening on the internet because they're going to Google or they're going to put it in Facebook or they're going to see people talking about something. In fact, on Facebook right now, just look on the right-hand side, there's a whole section on what people are talking about.
Right.
So social media has become incredibly influential, and that is impacting our decisions. Before, the marketer could be the sole influencer. You don't have that option anymore. So you have to be ultra aware of the force of the marketplace and how to tap into existing thought processes and streams of traffic, mm-hmm. where before the traffic was from me to you. I sent you a postcard. Right. Now it's the stream is I make you think about something or show you an offer, and there's a conversation around it. And you have to kind of learn how to use that conversation to your advantage.
Yes.
That's the same with, you know, last night was the presidential debate.
Yeah.
And depending on who your friends are on Facebook was what you thought happened. You know, if you didn't watch it and you just scrolled through your Facebook feed, you thought one way or the other based upon who you hang out with.
Right.
Right? So it wasn't like in 1962, I'd sit in my house, I'd watch it on TV, and I'd make a decision who won, who I thought was the best. Walter Cronkite didn't weigh in. Walter Cronkite just reported.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's 70,000 messages telling me what to think.
Right.
Which is dangerous and good. I mean, as a marketer, it gives you a lot of leverage. As a human, I think we're forgetting how to think for ourselves, and that's
right. It's just as the age of the headlines. You just read headlines, and then you think you know what's going on, pretty much.
Uh huh. That's exactly it.
And obviously, marketers has agendas when they put headlines out there.
Of course they do.
So I said we destroy everything, but I don't think we destroy everything. I think the world goes in cycle, generally speaking. You know, like you said earlier, the world just goes in cycle. Things has a way of resetting, just like an economy has a way of resetting.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Real estate. Where does real estate rank for you in terms of wealth building strategy, something in your portfolio? Where does it rank for you?
I have to tell you, we have not done a lot of real estate investing ourselves. But I think now that our kids are grown, it's something that we really need to look into and get into. Mm-hmm. I do watch a lot of real estate flip shows. I will tell you that. I enjoy that type of stuff, looking at that type of stuff. We haven't, although I will say that I bought my house originally through, can I share a quick story?
Please, go for it.
Talk about the entrepreneur you didn't know you were an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I was broke, I used to buy a lot of books and tapes off of eBay because somebody would give up, they'd quit, and they'd sell their whole library or the courses they'd invested in. Back then they were
That's a great tip right there, by the way. That's a great tip for people who want to buy more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting back here looking here. How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. This is the Tom Hopkins course from years ago. This guy was like this was the Grant Cardone of the 70s, you know. So I used to buy tapes. And these are sitting here. I cleaned out my closet, but a friend of mine wanted all the old cassette tapes because most people don't have a cassette player anymore. So I have to mail these out to him. So I used to pick up all these different courses, and I learned a lot of marketing stuff from courses I was buying for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
One day I was at a garage sale, and I saw an old Dave Delgado real estate investing course from the 80s. And it was, these multi-volumes, this big set, and it was $10. And I bought it, and I never looked at it, and I didn't know why I bought it. And Dave Delgado was like Carlton Sheets, you know, the big real estate investing courses that used to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And we owned a condo. And we had the kids, so we were financially, he had a good job, we both had good jobs, but we didn't have a lot of money for a down payment, so we couldn't buy. So what we did was we rented a house, and we rented out our condo. Mm. So one day I come home with the kids, and I go to the house that we had rented, and there's foreclosure notices on the door. The landlord had not been paying the mortgage.
Oh, wow.
So I start freaking out, thinking we're going to be thrown out on the street. I call the bank. They say, don't worry. It takes a lot longer to foreclose. You're not going to be on the street, all this other stuff.
This is true.
So all of a sudden, I decided to go in and pull out that Dave Delgado real estate course that I bought for $10. Right. And it was old. It was completely outdated. But I learned something in that course that allowed me to go out and buy a foreclosure for 1% down in a beautiful neighborhood. And it's the house we live in to this day. We could afford the payments. We didn't have the down payment. So guys, learning, getting real estate education and learning all these different techniques, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a product of it, having not really done it. It was just an accident. I had to teach my real estate agent how to sell me the house, believe it or not, because it was a VA foreclosure and I got a great deal on it. So do I think we'll get into real estate? Yeah, I do. I think it's one of the safest things, you know, compared to the volatility of the stock market, et cetera. But it has not been a big part of my plan yet.
Okay. Grant, you mentioned Grant Cardone, who I also follow. He preaches, I like him because he preaches network marketing as an income source for you to step up your income game. But he also preaches acquiring real estate for long-term wealth, you know. And then he's all about the multi-units and stuff like that. So I'm looking, that was why I brought up the other argument earlier, because there are two people that are very influential in the space of entrepreneurship, guruship online, which is Gary Vee and the other guy on Fox. I forgot his name. Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, yeah.
Those people are very influential. When you just pick on a whole niche that the United States have said is legal by all indication, you can't just pick on it and say it's wrong and just say, no, you're going to fail in that. That's number one, not true. According to the data, that's number two. I'm not really a big fan of traditional MLM either. But I know that it's a business model that's legal and you can make a lot of
money. I also have friends that have made millions and millions. I did well, but I have friends that made millions and millions and millions and millions, and millions of dollars globally. Right. And I remember the first time I sat with some of these people, I kind of endeared myself and I just sat and back then it was printouts. It wasn't all computerized and they'd have their printout of their team. Mm-hmm. And it was like a novel. It was, it was a book this thick and it's millions of dollars. That's truly that kind of residual income. The big granddaddy companies, the little companies, they come and they go and you really have to pick and choose or have, you know, plans. But the big poppies,
it's... What do you say to people that say only people at the top makes money?
Just not true. I mean, if you can do math or read, you know that's just not true. Because anybody can start today and work their way past anybody, and I've watched it happen a million times. I've done it. Right. I've done it, you know, so it's just not true.
And I saw you did it with MLSP. Even though MLSP is not really an MLM, but you did it with the leaders board and they
But I excelled, you know, over time. I excelled, you know, beyond people that had been there for years or before me or whatever. It's just not true. All you have to do is look at a pay plan to know. I mean, there are a couple of funky pay plans, but pretty much every pay plan out there, the beauty of network marketing is anybody can go to the top. Where in corporate America, that's just not the case. You know, it's not anybody can go to the top. So,
what do you say to people that feel like they're making somebody else rich? So, imagine right now, I let you know about an opportunity, right? And I say, hey, Dan, you should check this out, you know? And because I've seen people do it, even experienced people. I don't want to make that guy rich. And even if it's something they would take a look at, they would just avoid it because of that purpose. They may even go join somebody else. They'd rather make that other person rich. What do you say? Are they really making me rich? But anybody who has a little feeling about making another person rich, what do you say to that kind of person?
There's a couple of issues in there. Okay. First of all, as far as making people rich, that's called capitalism. Like, because when you work for a company, you're making a corporation wealthy. Anytime that you're in a capacity that you're serving, and it's also called leverage. And what people don't understand is when somebody's leveraging you, very often you're getting more leverage back. Like, my upline may give me systems or tools or et cetera, et cetera. So I'm leveraging them. They may do the three-way calls. They may speak to people for me. The question is, do you understand leverage and do you understand how it goes both ways? So instead of being a victim, I'm a victim. They're taking advantage of me. They're getting rich off of me. Think about what they can provide to you that will make your success faster and easier than theirs ever was. So that, and then also as far as you have to pick and choose your business partners. You know, if you're starting something new, decide who you want to work with. Do a little research, make a decision. But if you're already in a company and you don't like somebody that's a little upline than you, and you stop working so that to spite them, that's funny. I'm not gonna work because I'm gonna make that guy rich. So I think I'll run myself broke instead. Okay, you know, is that putting off your nose to spite your face or whatever that saying is? I'm not gonna do it. I'll be here broke. I'm not gonna help him out. I'm not gonna make him rich.
Yeah.
And I hate to break it to you, he was gonna get rich without you.
Exactly.
Was I going to stop doing business? Were you going to stop doing business? Were any of us going to stop doing business because one guy decided he didn't like us? Not so much. I have kids. I have a family. I have a home. I have a life. I'm focusing on building my best life. And not everybody's going to like me. Not everybody's for me. And that's how it is. And that's okay.
This is so true. And Grant Cardone again said, if you don't like to make people rich, you never get rich.
Exactly. And if you don't like to buy, you're never going to sell. If you don't like to make people rich, you're not going to get rich. It's a catch-22, guys, that when you're thinking from lack, you're creating your own lack. When you're thinking from abundance, yeah, I'm making him rich, but I'm making myself rich. You know, yeah, I'm doing, you know, I'm supporting this and I'm bringing it all back to me. It's biblical. What you release from one hand comes into the other one 10 times over. You know, go read Proverbs, kids. You know, if you really understood universal law, if you really understood this stuff, you would never think that way. You would never, the idea that there's not enough or there's competition.
Right.
There's no competition.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I said earlier, I'm a church boy. I grew up in church. And it baffles me sometimes when I see a lot of people around me in church that don't truly understand two things. Faith. You know, I tell them all the time, if you're looking for faith, just look as an entrepreneur, because people assume that, oh yeah, you're just an entrepreneur, you see it coming. No, we don't see it coming oftentimes, right? We're just having faith. We're just having faith, believing ourselves, right? And then we're also seeing something. We have limited information to make certain decisions, and we still make that decision anyway based on faith. The second thing that they have trouble understanding, all of them, I'm just literally saying, 99% of the people in church don't understand giving. They think it's something spiritual. There's no, it's not. It's literally as good as your daily life. The more you give, the more you're going to receive. It's kind of like content marketing as well, too. When you put all this content out here and you're providing value to the marketplace, you could call it spiritual if you want, but please understand that it's also physical. You know?
Yeah.
So that brings me to this, okay? Some people, most of the companies in this space, most of the direct sales companies, you have this comp plan where you only probably need two legs or three legs, or the third one is always you only need five legs, right?
Okay.
What do you say to people that are getting started and they think, oh, I found my three people? Can you give them a good idea of the expectation that they should have on that three people and how to get around them?
Sure. You know, it's not finding three people. It's finding three people that are committed, that want to go the distance, and knowing that sometimes things change in their lives and they need to move on. I mean, I left and moved to a different place. So it's never only three people. It's the three anchor people in a leg, and that can change. We always want to be as aggressive as we can about building and producing as much as we can, because the team will only follow the leader. So it's never three people. It's really kind of growing up and understanding pay plans and how they work, and watching some videos. You know, I know some people who are great at explaining different pay plans, and really understanding that basically anything that you want, if you want to make money, it requires production. So just because they get placed in different places, that would be like going outside and planting your garden, and there's like a geometric pattern in your front yard. So you need five plants in the back, and you need three here, and you need one here. All the plants are just as important, and you have to move some of them in different places to make the structure look good and work.
Right.
And that's how, you know, marketing, network marketing works, is it's about creating depth in the organization.
Right.
So originally, most of the pay plans would go as wide as, you know, they would go to infinity wide. And then a lot of pay plans, what they did was they capped how wide you could go to force the depth, because depth creates stability. That's what people don't understand. The depth creates stability. So you want to put in people and put in more people and put in more people and create depth.
Depth creates stability. That's a big one. That's absolutely some big wisdom right there. I have three pillars here of the network marketing 2.0. I called it. I coined that term back in 2009, and it's still taking shape, believe it or not. But it now involves network marketing, internet marketing, as well as real estate, specifically more from a standpoint of real estate investing, for wealth building. So we were talking about digging deeper earlier into relationship, that's part of debt, creating stability. Mm-hmm. I've had the same mastermind. Out of my seven people in my mastermind right now, about five of them have been around like forever. It is the same thing when you look at the structure in companies like the Berkshire Hathaway with Warren Buffett. They always have those people that you don't know their names, but they're the pillars, you know. It's the same thing in a church organization. You will have those people that they're unshakable. You may not know them, they may not be the face, and they're unshakable. I was having a conversation with Ray Higdon on the interview, and he was gracious to share some really in-depth thing with us too. He's still scrambling, trying to find the right people for the new structure they're creating for their company, you know, because it's just a different ball game when you're running at a couple of $1 million per year in revenue, and you need, you just don't need employee, you need pillars. You need.
Yes, correct. Big difference.
Difference, you know. So that's why I like to touch on that. I also like to touch on the reality of you know, network marketing, because our marketing message initially for someone who's brand new could be as simple as find your three legs, and you know, and they may take it that literally, right? And but thank God for, because a lot of the leadership things that I know came from network marketing, you know, and I can't find a need to ever discount the importance of that in anything we do. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I can't tell you. And I say that very sincerely, because everything changes so much. Windows of opportunity are opening left and right. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I'll be. What I know is I'll be doing well. What I know is I'll be productive. What I know is I'll be traveling and speaking and, mm-hmm. and serving in exactly what space. I do have a book on the burner. You know, it's almost done.
Nice.
That should be playing a role in it. But so many opportunities. Just recently, I was asked to come out to Austin to speak at an event, and I've already, you know, talked to a bunch of people, you know, in different spaces, offering opportunities with them. I don't know where I'll be. What I know is that because of the work I've done over these 17 years while bringing up my children, I have choices, and I'm free. Ola. And that's really what turns me on, is I'm free to come and go. I'm free to do what I like. If I wanted to, I could write a letter once every day and do a piece of content once a week, and the money would keep coming. Yeah. And that is magical. Let me say one last thing about something you just said that I think is real important.
Mm-hmm.
It took me many years to understand the wisdom of the simple teaching in network marketing. Because when I was starting out, I was like, there's more. Tell me more. I need more. What is it? What is it? What is it? And I was like this hungry person. And now I find myself streamlining everything I do and simplifying everything I do and breaking it down into like the three pillars or the three steps. And I don't get more specific until somebody performs and they deserve mentorship. So I go back to the simplicity of, you know, for me, it was use the products, wear the button, and talk to people. That's what I was taught. And you know what? In reality, that's really what everybody does. It's use your product and be proud of your product and know your product inside and out.
Absolutely.
Put something out in the marketplace so people know that you represent it, so that they can find you, and talk to people about it. I mean, that's the simplicity of what we do. And yet there's a million caveats and a million mechanisms. There's a million techniques that we can learn.
Of course. Of course. And you just literally told them, like, listen, we're digging deeper into relationships. But you have to, as a prospect or as a mentee, you have to dig deeper too for us to find you, for you to get on our radar sometimes.
Right. Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah, you're going to get the simple until you perform. Once you perform, you can get the complex.
Yes.
Because then you qualify to be taught the complex. And right. It's the same in your job. They don't promote you up to management until you perform. When they bring you into management, you learn a whole different set of skills.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one. You have three steps. Execute on the three steps and be the best at it first before you ask for anything else. Because I still think up to today, and I learned that in network marketing, that success is actually simple. It may not be easy, but it is simple. And the faster you realize that, the three steps in front of you, you know, the Gary Keller of Keller Williams in the book One Thing called it the one thing in front of you, right? Execute on that and be the best at it. And once you can execute through that, there's no competition. Because most people will not execute on those. So when people tell me competition, I'm like, there's not. There is, if you stay in the mediocre stage, if you're looking for the secret, right? But if you know that success, entrepreneurship is actually simple, because we complicate it for ourselves sometimes, don't we? Because of the internet and the noise. Don't we do that?
Second guess. That's what people do, is they second guess themselves. My mentor said to me a long time ago, when I first met him, I was like, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And he goes, listen, Diane, if you would just do what you already know how to do, things would change. And since then, I've extrapolated that, because the reality is, if you do what you already know how to do, you're either going to get so good that you'll surpass everybody else, or you'll get so frustrated that you'll discover a new way that's suited to you. Only one of two things can come from doing that daily action. The problem most people have is they go, well, I did that for 3 days. That didn't work. That guy said to do this. I watched a thing and that guy said to do this. This guy said to do this. And they just keep second guessing themselves. So they're a year in the business and they're really a week in the business, because they've never done anything consistently for more than a week. You have to do, if you want to be a year in the business, you have to do something for a year to get good.
Yeah, absolutely. Something keeps standing out in this particular feature story, your story, right? Something keeps standing out, and that's digging deeper. As of recently, I've done it before, but I quit it on it prematurely, you know? And I started doing it again since I started this interview series, and it's really working well as compared to everything else. You know, this video bites that were created out of this interviews, right? You know, it's probably going to be about 10 to 15 come out of this one. We put them on YouTube. They go on Facebook as well too. And we record audience. Facebook allow you to record an audience of people watching them. And those people are the people that essentially get to see my offer for a capture page or anything like that. And the conversion, it's probably a little bit more expensive, but the quality of conversion.
Yes.
It's just, not only is the conversion for me right now actually cheaper, but the quality is actually better. And Facebook or YouTube or any major platforms, the only trusted traffic sources out here, right, they're actually rewarding you for putting out content and AKA digging deeper into a relationship to actually serve customers. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what's really standing out in what we're doing here. Thank you so much for being here, Dan.
My pleasure.
Where do you want people to... What's hot right now? What project is hot on your plate right now?
Oh, gosh. The best thing to always do is go over to DianeHochman.com. It's H-O-C-H-M-A-N.com. And jump on my email list. There's always something going on. There's always some product or something happening going on, or a talk or a webinar or whatever, training, video coming out. So that's the best thing. And then anywhere else on the net, people can find me if they just pull my name up, facebook.com/Diane Hochman, youtube.com/Diane Hochman, etc. You can find me pretty much anywhere.
Right.
And all kinds of stuff going on. Hopefully by the time people see this, the book is coming into fruition.
Absolutely, absolutely. And hopefully we'll be able to get you out to New York for our next Empire Intensive. We tried to get you a few years ago. Something must have happened, life happened or something.
Yeah, I think it was a kid thing. I can't remember. It was a couple of years ago. But, you know, I'm in your neighborhood. I'm not too far. So yeah. I'm only up in Connecticut. So let me know. We'll come on down.
Now, one more question. I found a scandal about you.
Ooh, there's a scandal? I didn't know there was a scandal. What's the scandal?
I remember, I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, I'm not sure. Your last baby that was in the house was living in the house or something like that.
Yes.
Are you still by yourself with your husband now? Or?
Yes, the kids are. One lives in. It works at Google in New York City.
Nice.
So she's over in Chelsea and lives in Brooklyn, and the other one lives in Australia.
That's the one that was going to Australia.
Yeah.
What's she doing?
She's in Australia. She went for a year and she loved it, and then came home and said, "Mom, I want to go to school there." Wow. And so now she's in school there. Very happy.
How are you doing with that? You doing okay?
It's, you know what? It was harder a little. When she came home for a while and she left again, that was very hard. Mm. I miss my kids a lot. I mean, my life rotated around my kids. You're making me emotional now. But you know what? It's also nice being a couple again. It's nice rediscovering, you know, what we, you know, had before the kids, and traveling and doing fun things together. And this is our time together now. Our job as parents is to prepare our children to go out in the world and to set them free. I've done that job. So as much as I want to grab them back, I can't.
You can't. Uh-oh. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. That's a job well done. That's saying if your kids are independent and supporting themselves and, you know, able to handle their lives, we've done okay. And I'm very proud of them. And I'm proud of us as parents.
I have two boys, 8 and 5. And I can't wait for them to get out of my house. But I think it's because they're boys.
I think feel that way. When they're little, they're all over the place and this isn't that. And then all of a sudden they're in high school and you blink and they're gone. And they're gone. And when you realize they're really gone, it's a sad day.
You know how I know I'm scared of that? You know, I think I'm pretending sometimes. You know how I know I'm scared of that is my wife dug up an iPhone 3 or 4 or something like that she found in the house. And we started to see some videos of when they were 2, 1 year old. And I started to feel very funny emotionally, like, where are these little ones? They literally are gone. I have 8 and 5, and I can't find the 2 and 1 and 3 years old anymore. And that started to scare me a little bit, maybe in a good way, like, is that how it's going to be? They're just going to be disappearing in faces, and one day they'll be out of the house. Now, that one scared me, so maybe I can relate a little bit, but still, I want them out.
You know what the worst part was? I thought that I had one would leave and one would be home for a few more years. They both left within 3 months of each other. So it was like, wait a minute, you can't leave. They're gone.
I know.
So it's all good. Enjoy them. That's the whole point of our lifestyle, is we really get to be around them. And
we do.
You don't know how precious the moments are. I sound like an old lady. They used to say this to me. You don't know how precious the moments are until they're gone. You really don't.
All right, guys, if you're watching this, please go ahead to danhockman.com. Please go show us some love. You know, she has a ton of value to offer. If you enjoy this, you can only imagine what you're going to get by following her. I just want to really, really appreciate you. Hopefully, you be enlightened and educated, and I'll see you in the next one. Peace. Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. networkmarketing2show.com.